Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now to all of its collaboration with the Academy of American Poets and its Poem A Day project. It's the only daily digital poetry series. The Academy invited 12 guest editors to each curate a month of poems in 2019. If you sign up at poets.org, a poem will appear in your inbox every day. And without further ado, here's today's poem.
Brief Interval by Cheryl Clark. I knew what I was about stroking your lovely neck in that perilously brief interval at the intersection of desire, the real, and feminist daring do. And if the intersection is 3 or 4 points of variance, divergence, diversion, aversion, and hapless brief interval, larger than the grid, in dread of a walled corner, a piano stool, a contraband 38, and that flip of an eye, Eros. O throat, I don't do well with expectation. Come up here if it's too cool a story below, with your windows cracked. Higher is warmer in this last, fast, phantasmic interval.
If you would like to have a poem a day in your life, sign up at poets.org. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. For 40 years, Human Rights Watch has investigated and defended people at risk of abuse around the world. And for 30 years, the New York Human Rights Watch Film Festival has screened movies that are both artistically interesting and examine the human condition. The selected movies go through a vetting process to ensure accuracy, but the films often have a point of view. This year, quote, half of the films are from filmmakers with roots in the region they are covering. Half were directed or co-directed by women, and the majority of this year's selection were directed by filmmakers of color. The festival opens tonight at Lincoln Center's Walter Reed Theater with a screening of Advocate, a film from filmmakers Rachel Lee Jones and Philippe Belaish. The film introduces us to Jewish-Israeli lawyer Leah Semmel, known for her controversial clients, although she doesn't see any controversy as she defends them. We learn about her path to her profession and watch as she prepares to defend a 13-year-old Palestinian boy arrested for a knife attack in Jerusalem who could spend more than a decade in prison. Filmmaker's Rachel Lee Jones is in studio, as well as Leah Semmel. Welcome so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And John Biagi, who is director of the Human Rights Film Festival. So, John, how would you describe the film festival? That was sort of my description after reading all the literature. How do you describe it?
Well, I think you did a very nice job. The festival, you know, it's been here for 30 years, and it is really a platform for voices that may not be heard in the mainstream, and for a diversity and inclusion, not just in the films we pick, but also in the discussions. We pay a lot of attention to who's on stage and who you get to hear from after the films. And I think the festival is also, it has a ripple effect, certainly. The films we program, a lot of different festivals and other organizations look at the films. They get invited other places. It's really a pebble in the pond and the ripples that come out from it. And that's how I think we see ourselves.
How did you choose Advocate for opening night?
Well, it was a long process, but certainly it was up there at the front mm-hmm. with a few films. There's lots of discussions that go into it. But I think this film really stood out because of the times we live in and the message that it's giving. And I think it's also a film that shows a real level of hope. And that's something that Israel, I think, and Palestine need at this time. And I think the film, and Leah in particular, show you a pathway and show you that struggling and persevering as an individual, that individuals can make that difference and that they can show the way to a better future.
Leah or Leah?
Leah.
Leah, so right. In the middle, yeah. Right in the middle. You have an incredibly busy life, incredibly important work. Why did you agree to let a documentary film crew follow you around?
First of all, why not? I didn't know a lot, you know. I was just there doing my daily things anyway, and I had some shadows, lovely shadows, nice ones, who understand me. I was not afraid for a moment because I knew they would, they are going on the same path and on, with the same empathy. Mm-hmm. So it was just there, and in big part of a family.
If you can take yourself out of the equation, why would it be important to make a documentary about a lawyer who does the work you do?
Because it's a very difficult work. And as I call myself at the end, a losing lawyer, I lose a lot in many, many cases. The cause is losing altogether in Israel, in the big part of the cases. But yet, it has to be done. And yet it represents a big part of the population, the Palestinians, of course, and some of the Israelis also. And I must say that the enthusiasm with which the film was accepted in Israel is extraordinary. Hmm. The film won the first prize in the Doc Aviv competition in Tel Aviv, in the heart of Tel Aviv. And anyone who can see the film knows that it's it raises problems of identification, of where is justice? How can the Israeli court system bring upon justice to the Palestinians at all, whether in the military system or the civil one? And in spite of all that, it won. Maybe in because of all that, but due to the those who produced the film.
Rachel, how did you hear of Leah? How do you know Leah?
I had heard about Leah already in college during the first Intifada. She was one of the few people, when I went back to Israel as an adult, I had grown up there as a kid, who I wanted to meet right away. And I got to know her early in life. I think I'm 48 today. Leah was 48 when I met her. And so I wanted to be Leah Tzemel in a way. Very fast, you realize nobody else can be Leah Tzemel. Doesn't mean you can't be a fantastic lawyer and do good work, but Leah is the combination of personality and sort of the content of her work. She is sort of a one-off. So I let go of that. And then I think I knew her just a bit too well, or felt too identified with her, at least as a young person, to think that I would make a film about her, even though I always thought, well, somebody should make a movie about this woman. And about 10 years later, Philippe Belaïche, my partner in life and in work, came into the picture, and the first thing he said, well, somebody should make a film about this woman. and we looked at each other and waited around for somebody to do that, mm-hmm. and nobody ever did. And about 3 or 4 years ago, we sort of looked at each other and said, okay, I guess that somebody is us. And we proposed it to her. She gave us basically a one-syllable, sure, no problem answer. And we went for it. And I think that that closeness that I had to her ended up being an advantage. So in your introduction, you talked about, you know, the films like ours having a point of view. Yeah, we never tried to not have that point of view. And nevertheless, it was a documentary process in the sense that totally unexpected. It was unexpected what came into the frame. It was unexpected how I would feel about the content that came up, and then how I would process it, how I would synthesize it. So it was a very open-ended process. There wasn't a formula that I knew in advance in terms of how it would be.
Leah, how do you decide which cases to take?
First of all, by principle, I take every case of every Palestinian who is under occupation and a victim of occupation. The problems would be, the question that I ask myself sometimes is, what case not to take? When mm-hmm. can I say no? So there are a few slim line of cases that I can say, no, I don't take them.
That was my next question.
Those who collaborate with the occupation, for instance, amongst the Palestinians, and there are some of those. And all the rest, more or less, I say yes. I'm being an Israeli, being part of the oppressing power, I'm taking. I take the case, I try to defend it the best of my ability, and at least to bring the story behind the action.
The movie's interesting the way you chose to edit it and to create the storyline, because part of it is about Leia and the force of her personality and her life and her family, and then part of it is very much about the Israeli judicial system. Why did you choose to kind of go those two tacks? This could have just been a profile of Leia. This could have just been about the Israeli justice system.
I mean, we set out to make a film about Leia. And when we started filming in early 2015, and, you know, things are never really calm over there, but there are calmer periods and more hectic periods. And things were relatively calm at the time. We figured that the film that we would be doing would be largely historical. We'd be going back, looking at her past cases, looking at 5 decades worth of legal work, you know, each with its own slightly different political flavor. There were harder years. There were more liberal years. Then it got hard again. And we thought we would take one present time case that could be an emblem or stand in for her legal work over all those years. Then the case of the kid came into her office, and it was obvious that that was the one that we would be following for a number of reasons. I'll point out one of them. Leah starts out as a sister to her clients in terms of age and just sort of political affinity. She moves into being their mother, and this case came into her office, and suddenly she was her client's grandmother. And I think that there was something just so jarring about that. It was, she couldn't help, regardless of the sort of righteous work that she does over the years, she couldn't help but feel also implicated in the fact that a 13-year-old thought that they had to carry the struggle. Effectively, ineffectively, rightly, wrongly, regardless, he was carrying the struggle. And a charge or an accusation that implicated everybody, Israeli, Palestinian, right, left, secular, religious. And I think she felt really obligated to seek justice for this kid, because he had been born into a situation that sort of represented all of our failures.
The 13-year-old in the case is implicated in a knife attack.
Exactly.
And you have to make some tough decisions about how you want to go about representing him. There's tough decisions and, yes, and conversations about his age, about what actually happened.
Exactly.
When you think about this case, as Rachel said, this is one that sort of is really emblematic. When you think about this case, what really stands out about it to you that could be either misunderstood or misinterpreted?
It is the story of this kid and his cousin, who was only 15 and did not attend trial because he was killed by the border police at continuation of the same attack, who went to the nearby settlement and searched people to frighten, as they said to themselves. They wanted to frighten them. They took knives. They should frighten them, and by this they would save perhaps the children in Gaza whose houses were bombed and remain without housing. This was what they were speaking between themselves. That's how the 15-year-old tempted the 13-year-old to come along with him. And then the question on the ground was, what did the 13-year-old who remained alive, what did he do? And practically, he was not doing anything, just following the bigger one. But since the bigger one was killed, what the child became the symbol of this attack, especially when the victim was also a 13-year-old Jewish boy from that settlement. So it brings about all the possible conflicts. It also brings about a judicial conflict, because being so small, if he's been sentenced before he's 14, they cannot send him to prison. On the other hand, should I count upon the integrity of the prosecution and the court not to sentence him before he is 14? I couldn't. I was afraid that they will drag it, mm-hmm, wait for with it, and then he will be sentenced to prison anyway. And on the other hand, he could be sentenced very quickly if he pleads guilty to what he is charged of, but he should plead guilty for 2 attempted murder that he never really participate in practically and never had in mind. He didn't have the mens rea for killing. So all these conflicts came about, and we had to take a decision. I took it together with the other lawyer and together with his family, mainly, majorly, him and the family. And the family also decided to go on with the wish to prove that he had no murderous thoughts.
Intentions
when he came out. Well, yes. I cannot tell you that we won the case. No, we did not. He is right now in prison. He'll be released once he's 23 years old. But he is amongst other Palestinian kids.
Mm-hmm. And we see the process. I think that's a really, the documenting of the process is really valuable.
There's a moment early in the film where Leah says, a client's mother says to her, you really like to take the hard cases, don't you? And she says, not that I like to, but I'm not afraid to. And one of the reasons I want to take these cases is because I always see the person behind the case. So if I can just, put a little bit of context in this. Since 1967, 800,000 Palestinians have been arrested, detained, jailed, and imprisoned with and without due process, and tried in both military and civil courts for resisting the occupation, both violently and nonviolently. The kid is statistically just one of those 800,000, but each of those 800,000 has a story. They come from somewhere, they have a family, they have circumstances, they have a collective memory, a collective desire for the future. They have historical questions that need answering. Mm-hmm. And so they operate as individuals, and she represents them as individuals, but it's impossible not to understand that they're part of a larger picture.
The name of the film is The Advocate. My guests are Rachel Lee Jones, who directed it, Leah Sesmal, who is the subject of it, and John Biagi, who's the director of the Human Rights Film Festival. I can tell you right now, we've got about a minute left, that there's probably people on Twitter right now tweeting about the subject matter and this movie, unhappily. This was a bold choice for your first night. Why did you make it?
it was an important choice to make. It's an important film, and in some ways it's also a universal film. I mean, this is a failure of justice, and you can see that here in the United States every day as well, and you can see it globally in all kinds of countries. So, you know, beyond just Israel and Palestine, which can be contentious, this is really a bigger story.
And tonight is the screening of the film, and there'll be a Q&A with you ladies. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, Where's that taking place?
That's at the film at Lincoln Center's Walter Reed Theater, and it's at 7 o'clock tonight.
John Biagi, Leah Sesmal, and Rachel Lee Jones, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank
it was a pleasure
you,
to meet
Alison.
You.
Thank you.
You've been listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Stay with us. We have more coming up at the top of the hour.